Good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and thank you for joining with us tonight. Our opening song is titled, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Wilt thou not regard my call? Wilt thou not accept my prayer? Lo, I sink, I faint, I fall. Lo, on thee I cast my care. Reach me out thy gracious hand. While I of thy strength receive, hoping against hope I stand, dying and behold I live. Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name, source of all true righteousness. Thou art evermore the same, thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity. And thank you, dear Savior, for your great love for each one of us. May we bow our knees for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care and guidance. Thank you for not forsaking us, but drawing ever closer to us through Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your great love and for making possible our salvation. We give you full control of tonight's meeting, and we plead that thy presence will be here with us, and thank you for being here. Dear Savior, we thank you for thy great love and for dying that we might have life. Thank you for the gracious promise that you will never leave your followers. Even though the world may end, yet your help and companionship with us will never end. And thank you so much for the comfort and the peace this gives each one of us. Please be here as well in our midst. And let the bright beams of your truth and righteousness dispel all darkness in our hearts. And thank you so much for being here and for doing so. Dear Spirit, we also plead that thy presence will be here to lead and guide us into all truth, away from all darkness and error. Thank you for being our comforter and for also reproving and correcting us in measure and ever pointing us upward to the Savior, that we might indeed not only have life, but have it more abundantly. We thank you, dear Godhead, for being here in our midst. And thank you so much that we're a day closer to getting off of this wicked world. Father, please be with all of those who have requested prayer. Please hear and answer their petitions according to thy perfect will. We pray especially for our dear sister who is needing to find work, and we pray that the doors will open for her and that she will find a job that was better than the last one that she had. Thank you for taking her case in your hands and allowing the doors to be opened according to thy will. Be with those of our group that are sick, and please heal them, dear Savior, as our great physician, whether this sickness is physical, spiritual, or mental. And thank you so much for your great love and compassion to them as well as us all. So thank you for being with us tonight. And please help us to receive a rich blessing from fellowshipping together and digging into your word of life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're continuing in Romans chapter 11, and we're at verse 24. And the last thing we were talking about was that even though God had cast away the nation of Israel as a corporate body, yet individuals within the nation of Israel still had the chance to leave the cast out position that they were in and become grafted back into God's chosen people. So even though God's chosen people were no longer the literal Israelites, God still had a people. And if any of the Jewish nation wanted to continue to be part of God's chosen people, then they had to join Christ. They had to leave the darkness, the custom and tradition of the elders, and embrace the truth as it is in the Savior, and they could be grafted back into being the chosen people of God. So they found themselves in a church that was fallen, And so today, if we find ourselves in a church that is fallen, part of Babylon, then we're not God's chosen people. And in order to become God's chosen people, we would have to leave that darkness and apostasy and join the Savior, who is outside of everything contaminated with Babylon. And then we too, through Christ, can be God's true followers. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 24. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So Paul here is addressing the Gentiles, and he says that the olive tree, or the group of people that you're a part of, is not connected with God. So then, if you're cut out of that group that's not connected with God and grafted into the group that is connected with God, that good olive tree, if that's possible, and through Christ it is, then how much more shall the natural branches that were once part of God's chosen people, but now have been cast aside, how much more will they be able to be grafted back into God's chosen people? Continuing. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So Paul calls this a mystery, that God can have a chosen people, but because of apostasy and rebellion against him that's incurable, God sets them aside to where they're no longer his people. But out of mercy, God allows individuals among that cast out group the precious privilege of coming back to him and once more becoming part of his chosen people. That's a mystery. God didn't have to do it. If the people were rebellious as a corporate body, he had every right to set them aside and close probation on every single member. But God gives a second chance, not to the corporate body, but to individuals. The Catholic Church is part of Babylon fallen. But God doesn't cast away every single church member from ever becoming part of his body. But they can't have both the Babylonian church with one hand and Christ with the other. They have to make a choice between them. If they choose Christ, then they become part of his body and God's chosen people. If they cling to the church and reject Christ, then they remain Christless, even though they bear the name of Christian. But the name cannot save us. Only our connection with Christ can save us. So Paul calls this a mystery, that you can have a group of people that claim to be followers of God, and yet God doesn't recognize their claim at all. And by their fruits ye shall know whether they are of God or whether they are of the devil. So if the group that you're a part of reveals fruits that are satanic in nature and are unwilling to repent, to change, then that group is part of Babylon Fallen and is Christless. And as long as you remain connected with that Babylonian group, you're not connected with Christ, and thus you do not have eternal life. So blindness in part has happened to all of the denominations in this world today. But every single church member of those denominations has the chance to escape from Babylon and to connect themselves with the Savior and indeed be part of God's family. And praise God for that. None of us here, if God didn't give that second chance, none of us here would be saved. But God opened our eyes to recognize that the churches that we were a part of were Babylon Fallen. And He led us out directly to the Savior, that in connecting ourselves with Him, we could become the chosen people of God once again. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18 is very clear. Wherefore come out from among them, my people, and then I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Praise God for that second chance. Are there any thoughts or questions before we continue? Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now what does that mean? The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God gave the gift of the gospel to the Israelites. They rejected it. So God didn't repent for giving them the gospel. God just took that gospel from them and gave it to the Gentiles. God called the children of Israel to be His chosen people, and He would be their God. But they broke the covenant with God and did not continue to live as His children. And after God sent prophets to warn them to turn from their wicked ways that they might live and not be destroyed, God then left them to their own choice, took away from them the kingdom, and gave it unto the Gentiles. So now God is calling the Gentiles to be His chosen people. So God didn't stop desiring a people to serve Him. He just took it from one group and gave it to the other. So the gifts as well as the calling of God are without repentance. Continuing. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their, or the Israelites, unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So the Gentiles, as a body, were without hope of becoming the chosen people of God. But the Jews, who were the chosen people of God, didn't appreciate that. And they lost it. So then it was given to the Gentiles. And now the Gentiles can turn around after they've accepted the gospel and preach the gospel to the Israelites. Now it's interesting. The gospel is, separate from the darkness and come to the light. Separate from your fallen church and come to Jesus Christ to become part of God's true church. So here the Jews believe that they're already God's chosen people, that the temple there is God's true church. And so the Gentiles come to them now preaching the gospel, that there is no salvation to be found in the Jewish church. Salvation is only to be found in Jesus Christ. And if they want to be his followers, they have to leave the church in order to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So now the Jews have a choice to make. Do they continue to cling to their church and reject the gospel, or do they reject their church and cling to the gospel? It's the very same message and the same situation today. All of the established denominations today, regardless of whether they're Catholic, Reformed, or Protestant, have been cast away from God's favor and have become Babylon fallen. So then God has taken the kingdom away from all these churches and have given it to those that were not once part of God's people. So then in embracing this gospel, we have to preach it to all the fallen church members. How are they going to receive it? Will they compare it by God's word of truth, or will they just cling to custom and tradition and believe that God will only save those that are part of the Adventist Church, or part of the Methodist Church, or part of the Baptist Church, or the Catholic Church? Will they study to show themselves approved unto God? Will they examine the fruits that are being produced by their denominational churches and see if these are in accordance with God's word or not? The very same choices they have today was the same choices the Jews had in their day. It's the same gospel. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Salvation is still only found in the great I Am, Jesus Christ, just like it was in the time of Israel. But the message has to be preached. It has to be given regardless of whether they will hear or forbear, whether they will accept it or reject it. And regardless of the consequences for giving that message. Because a lot of people aren't going to like the idea that the church they belong to is part of Babylon fallen and has been cast away from God's favor. To them, it's going to be like you're talking against their mother, the mother church. But nevertheless, it's the truth. And they need to hear it. Because they need to decide whether they're going to cling to their church and reject Christ, or whether they're going to cling to Christ and reject their church. They can't have it both, just like the Israelites could not have it both. But praise God for allowing us this choice. And praise Him for giving us the grace and the strength and the knowledge to make the choice for Christ and not for the church. Amen. Some may study it out and some may not. That's true. But they have to have the message given to them to know . And then the result is with them on what they do with it, whether they will hear or forbear. So that's the gospel that Christ has given the people for these last days. And it's all due to the love, the wisdom, and the mercy of our God, giving us that second chance to be saved. Amen. Amen. Giving the people the printed material in tracts or books or over the internet in a sermon or a talk. That is an excellent way to give them the gospel truth. Well, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And I'll go ahead and begin, and whoever would like to pray afterwards, please feel free. So let us please bow our heads. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank You for Your love and mercy, compassion, long-suffering to each one of Your people. Thank You, Father, for not casting us away as individuals, though we were connected with Babylon at one time. But thank You for giving us the gospel truth that salvation is not found in any denomination, but only found in Jesus Christ and our connection with Him. Thank You for calling us out of darkness into Thy marvelous light. And Father, I pray that You will continue to prepare hearts to receive the truth. And please help us to know exactly what to say, when to say it, what tract to pass out, when to pass it out, and to who to pass it out. So that the gospel, as it is in Jesus Christ, can reach them. And lead them also out of darkness into Thy marvelous light of truth in Jesus Christ. Continue to speed Thy truth around the world, and please fill this dark world with Thy glory, the knowledge of salvation. And thank You that more and more of this world is being filled with Thy glory until soon every nation, kindred, tongue, and people will hear the gospel and make their decision for Christ or against Christ. And thank You, dear Savior, for coming soon. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Well, a scripture song comes to mind. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord is on my side. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Psalms 118, 8, 9, and 6. Well, dear ones, is there anything that you'd like to share before we close tonight's service? Please feel free. Well, keep looking up, dear ones. Continue advancing forward. Continue looking up. And that is where you find your strength and your grace to continue. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you soon, just a couple days. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song, Psalms 22, 1, 2, and 3. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalms 22, 1, 2, 3. And praise God that he will never forsake us, although it may appear at times that we are left all alone. But yet through faith, we know that God is near. So keep looking up, dear ones.